This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He's in London. So he's watching now the preparation for COP26. That is the gathering of eagles and doves in Glasgow, Scotland, where football is priority always. And I mention, if you're traveling to Glasgow, speak well of the Glasgow Celtic. The Celtic is the football team of Glasgow. It is in a long-standing rivalry with the Rangers of Edinburgh. It is ferocious. Do not speak well of the Rangers. That's a warning. Okay, so everybody's traveling to Glasgow. There's not enough hotel space. At the same time, I believe the EU or some other transnational body has forbidden party gathering because of the concern of the pandemic. Xi Jinping is not attending. No excuse offered other than he's not attending. Vladimir Putin is not attending, mentioning the virus, his concern, and he is a very cautious man when it comes to his health. We learn momentarily that Queen Elizabeth is not attending. Boris Johnson will be there, however, and Joe Biden will be there. So two major leaders that we pay a deal of attention to, and they're discussing what is to be done about climate change. But upon them, upon Boris Johnson, upon Joe Biden, upon the leaders of the EU, is winter. Joe, you've written about it. We've talked about the topic of Nord Stream 2. We've talked about the topic of the natural gas from Russia being critical to the heating of the homes and the firing of the manufacturing of Europe and the UK, but most importantly, Europe. They haven't got a fix, Joe. And when Vladimir Putin spoke at the Valdai Discussion Club in Sochi these last days, last week, I believe, he said that it wasn't him. It was the green innovation transition that had not taken into account immediate needs. Now, that's excuse making. The price of natural gas has increased by several 100% the last time I was told. And there isn't, at this point, sufficient storage for winter time, or the UK is facing a chilly winter. Is it Russia doing this, Joe? Is it the EU refusing to face the facts about transition or conducting magical thinking? Is it the UK blaming that the wind didn't blow in August? And it's okay to say all of the above. I'm just looking for an agreed-upon scapegoat.
Yeah, no, they're all doing it to each other. I mean, it brings me no joy to say this, but Putin is not entirely wrong, with some of his comments about, suggesting that Europe has done this to themselves, because in an important way, they have. I mean, so yeah, there's been a lot of enthusiasm for renewable energy, but the problem with things like wind and solar is that the wind has to be blowing and the sun has to be shining in order for that to generate electricity. Neither of those conditions are something that you can count on reliably in Northern Europe. I mean, that is just a reality of the weather in this part of the world. And so you already were going to have this issue that, okay, if you don't want to burn fossil fuels like coal and natural gas, you have to come up with some kind of reliable alternative, and renewables are not it. So, I mean, nuclear is a big option, as the French have discovered, which is why it seems to me we don't hear quite as much about an energy crisis in France do in other parts of Europe, and it is because they have consistently invested in nuclear generation all of these years, so they don't necessarily have an electricity problem. But that ended up off the table in Germany after the Fukushima disaster a decade ago. Britain says it wants to accelerate nuclear investment, but it is many years behind schedule in trying to bring that capacity online. And so wouldn't you know, if you've had this period when already you've been dipping into whatever fossil fuel stores you had because you had to get yourself through a period where wind generation was down because the winds happened to be still, you're going to end up driving up the spot price of fuels like natural gas. And don't be surprised if a foreign leader like Vladimir Putin takes the opportunity to kind of chuckle at you.
We have a quote from the president of the Russian Federation. If the German regulator gives approval tomorrow, he said this at Valdai several days past, supplies of 17.5 billion cubic meters of gas will start the day after tomorrow. Okay. I believe the translation here is, if you do what I say, you can have the natural gas at our price. He wants Nord Stream 2. I can imagine that after that, there'll be other requests from the European Union. You live in Europe now, Joe, even though you're not in the EU anymore. Is Europe ready to go along with Vladimir Putin's suggestions?
Well, I mean, if they're not, they're going to really have to discover some backbone on these issues and be prepared to pay higher prices for gas from other sources. And, you know, it's worth pointing out with this discussion about Nord Stream 2 that this is exactly the thing that Angela Merkel, Germany's chancellor, promised was not going to happen a couple of years ago when she was really trying to push forward with this Nord Stream 2 pipeline, which she has supported herself. And we were promised that this would not become a tool for Russia to exercise leverage over Europe. At the time, people were concerned that it was going to exploit that the Kremlin would exploit this pipeline to exert leverage over Central Europe. Now we're discovering that Russia is cutting to the chase and the pipeline isn't even built yet. And Russia is exploiting Western Europe's dependence on Russian gas to say, well, you have to give us this pipeline we want so that we can continue holding you strategic hostage and all of these other things. I mean, this is really a remarkable state of affairs, and it all comes because Western European leaders like Angela Merkel and more recently Boris Johnson have let themselves become so enthusiastic about renewables that they have forgotten that you have got to keep the lights on in the meantime.
In addition, we have some puzzles in the UK. This is from theoilprice.com. UK's newest gas projects may ease crisis. The new projects in the North Sea have recently started to flow gas, according to Bloomberg, and the extra capacity couldn't come at a better time. Goes on to talk about Shell's Iran gas and condensate field in the UK's North Sea. All very positive if it was a normal year. Is the UK public okay with that? This is contravening, of course, the ambition to wean the country off of natural gas or natural gas and fossil fuels in general. Are we looking at what is called magical thinking, also called the limits of a brain to hold two ideas in them at the same time? Is that what's going on?
Well, I mean, the electricity has to come from somewhere. And so, I mean, what's going to end up happening here is that, in the absence of some sort of immediate solution, like the magical construction overnight of windmills that manage to operate even when the wind is not blowing, which seems like a rather remote technological prospect at this point, the public is going to start demanding that the politicians and governments do whatever they have to do to keep the lights on. Certainly over in recent decades in Germany, this has meant that green Germany ends up burning a lot of dirty coal, because that is what is available. I wouldn't be surprised if sort of the end result of a difficult winter is actually that Europe ends up making itself a bit more reliant on fossil fuels, because those will be the things they can rely on.
U.S. President Joe Biden's global energy security advisor, this is Reuters reporting in Washington, said that Russian President Vladimir Putin is getting close to using natural gas as a political tool if Russia is holding back fuel exports to Europe as it suffers an energy crunch, said Amos Hochstein, Biden's advisor. I think we are getting close to that line if Russia indeed has the gas to supply and it chooses not to, and it will only do so if Europe accedes to other demands that are completely unrelated. How does this play in London, Joe, that the Biden administration is suggesting that Vladimir Putin, good heavens, Joe, Vladimir Putin is seeking a political advantage over Europe? How does this sound in London?
Well, I mean, who is surprised by that? I mean, I hope the Biden administration doesn't think that this is some great strategic innovation to have realized that this is happening. I think that the problem is going to be that there won't be any choice because it is a decision on the part of Western governments, which is a series of decisions they've made over many years that make them vulnerable to this kind of leverage from the Kremlin. So it's kind of like you can't refuse to exploit your own onshore energy in the way that Britain has banned fracking for natural gas reserves that are available under English soil. You can't, block the construction or delay the construction of nuclear power plants for many years, amid various forms of, political and economic wrangling over them. You can't pour all of your resources into, renewables that are not very reliable and then kind of be surprised when the person who actually is prepared to extract and sell fuel resources like Vladimir Putin, decides he wants to get something in return for selling them to you. So I think that what will probably happen, what you might end up seeing is a certain political frustration on the part of the public who are, looking anew at how it is that their political class ended up leading them into the situation where suddenly you are dependent, on this foreign power who you intuit is not really your friend.
I thought, Joe, at least I remember reading, that when the Biden administration made the decision early on to vouchsafe Nord Stream 2 and not to block it, go ahead, that was a practical approach to what would be an European energy shortfall this winter. These remarks by Mr. Hochstein suggest to me that that wasn't what was intended, but it was the result in the end. It is a puzzle to me. Russia has the energy. It is always going to make it available to Europe and to China. And I wonder if the Biden administration is reconsidering its Nord Stream 2 decision.
Well, I mean, the thing to understand about Nord Stream 2 is that it has never really been about energy policy. And if people had been thinking about it that way, this whole thing probably would have gone a lot easier a lot earlier in the process. I mean, this has always been bound up in the weird politics between Berlin and Moscow and Angela Merkel's desire for some kind of thaw with Russia, even as there's this growing realization in German politics that Russia is not the friend. This has also been kind of bound up in various U.S. issues to do with Russia's strategic, dominance of the energy market. Europe's concern about energy in Central Europe and Eastern Europe has been a problem there. If we had only been thinking about this in terms of energy, it would have been a very simple matter to say, well, there are a lot of other potential sources. Why do we need to build this pipeline? Why can we not be building facilities to import natural gas from the U.S., which I think is what governments like Poland and some of the Baltic states have been inclined to do? And that would have been the energy solution without having to get embedded into all of the Russia politics. But now we didn't want to do that because at the same time we were talking about building this pipeline, we were all supposed to be pretending that we weren't going to be using the gas that would flow through it because we'd be switching to all of these renewables. So, I mean, the whole thing has just been kind of a mess right from the beginning.
Life in London, life in Glasgow. When we come back, Extinction Rebellion is planning. Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He writes a political economics column. He's based in London. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.